Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad you are here, and happy Sunday to you. I hope your weekend's going great. Hey, we're going to begin a new talk today, something that everybody knows something about. What am I talking about? I'm talking about corporate Kool-Aid. Now, that is a cultural expression that I think we all understand. But do you know what is really behind it? I mean, we know what it's like to have a coworker get promoted and then they become a jerk or they distance themselves from somebody else. And all of a sudden, you have this situation, don't we, that we have to deal with. It's like, well, they're drinking the corporate Kool-Aid. Now, this is an interesting subject, and I think you're going to get into this. I hope you realize just how deep this really goes. Now, this week I read a very interesting post from a colleague and friend of mine, and he's a financial expert, and he talked about happiness in the workplace. And it showed that only about 50% of our workforce is happy. That's half of the people at work are happy. And even less of them are actually engaged at work. In fact, most people are very disengaged at work. You ever wonder why this is? Well, we all have to work. I mean, work is good for us. It's good for our communities and our world. You know, it keeps the economic engine going. And most of us will get out of school and end up as an employee within some big corporation or some small business or some organization somewhere. But we're all going to be an employee. The vast majority are worker bees, right? There's only a few at the top. And we're programmed to compete and rise to the top, right? The more experience you get, the more leadership you can have, the more money you can have. And organizations, let's keep in mind, they cannot rise to a very high level of consciousness. And that's because an organization has to always be looking out for its own best interests. I mean, self-interest is inherent in any organization that seeks to stay an organization. I mean, you have to pool yourself around certain ideals and common threads. And so those have to be the focus of everybody who's coming into the group. Corporations place high value on those employees or people that look out for the best interest of the company, right? And that correlates with the rise to the top. So as one moves up in leadership, their stake in the company goes with them. Now, within each organization, some employees or people are more in than others. Some are kind of on the fringe, some are kind of in the middle, and some are kind of in the core, right? It's the same no matter where you go, but this is what we know as they drink the corporate Kool-Aid. The more in you get, the more Kool-Aid you're drinking. The more a person drinks, the more beloved by the organization they are, and the more they lose commonality with those on the fringe or those who drink less. You see this dynamic of the Kool-Aid. It's something we all understand intuitively, but we don't really put much thought around it. We haven't really thought so much about the fact that corporations and organizations, they divide people by necessity based on their Kool-Aid consumption, don't they? You see, colleagues that are promoted to leadership begin to morph under this new interpersonal dynamic. Now that they're more in, now that they're drinking more, now that they have more vested stake in the company, they start to move out of relationship with those with less stake in the company. We call it office politics, but it's really the game of managing innies and outies. You know, and mid-managers, which I spent most of my career in, is what I call a semi-permeable fecal membrane, meaning the bullshit comes up and the bullshit goes down, and my job is to basically filter how much gets through to each side. So you're always in the middle, and it's usually a no-win situation, and it creates a ton of tension. But people with high consciousness usually do pretty well, right? And those without interpersonal radar, you know those ones, right? They usually blow things up. That's the person who just comes in and becomes the order taker, who has no real bearing on the people. And next thing you know, they're just totally isolated from everybody. They completely change. And now the company is worse off than it was before because this mid-manager has failed in their interpersonal skills. See it all the time. In fact, most managers are probably falling into that category because they are trying to get at something. And this corporate Kool-Aid story gets at something huge. Corporate Kool-Aid is the same in all startups. It's the same for nonprofit organizations. I used to think, gosh, if I got out of the corporate world, the secular world, and got into the church and worked into the church, then I would be free from all of this. Wrong. Sorry, it's the exact same within every church, every ministry, every small business, all religions, every huge corporation. Corporate Kool-Aid cannot be escaped. The Bible calls this the world. The term in the scripture refers to the systems of power, the systems of control, government, the systems of leadership, right? We see this all over in scripture. And because these political, and I mean political because wherever two or more are gathered, politics is there in between them. That's a tongue-in-cheek joke for those who got that. But it's true, politics is wherever people gather. And these political systems are everywhere. And so the term in scripture is the world, or what we see the term is called cosmos. And this is really important because a system of power, the world, corporate Kool-Aid. See, it gives people an identity, doesn't it? It's powerful because it gives people a life. Oh, yes, that's right. Getting the promotion is good news because you're going to have more money, and that more money is going to give you more savings, pay for the kids' college, maybe the boathouse, you know, maybe a lake house, maybe a vacation, a trip. It's going to make your life better. Getting fired or demoted is always hurtful because your life is connected to your work. And these systems, these world systems, these political systems, these corporate Kool-Aids, they give you a life. And they incubate what I think are way overinflated egos. They give us a sense, as you rise to the top, that you have power, that you've done something nobody else has, that maybe you're better than others. You know, and we always start off, we all think we want the big title. I would love that VP in front of my name, or manager, or director, or CEO. You know, we think we want the power. We think we want that income. We think we want all the options that come with more power. But below the surface, what we really want, we want to be validated. We want to be accepted. We want approval. I mean, these are the things we wanted in junior high as kids. It hasn't really changed. You see, the Kool-Aid gives us a synthetic version because we can feel like we're accepted if we're the boss because everyone's kissing our ass. That's not real acceptance. It's just kind of the fake version of it. Or we can feel like we're validated when we win the acrylic trophy at the sales meeting. But it's not the same as really being validated as a person, is it? You see, the Kool-Aid gives us the synthetic version. It does not give us the real thing that we want at a soul level. Now, those who realize that their identity does not come from their work, or this world system. These are the people who are actually free to do really good work. Those who need the company to define themselves are trapped in a cycle of striving and effort and output as they chase this ever-deferring satisfaction. I mean, you look around the world, and I work with many professionals who are kind of stuck in this cycle. They just keep going, more effort, more output, more chasing, and it's never really satisfying. I've seen their faces. I've talked to them at the bar. See, the reason people are unhappy at work is because they're not free. And organizations can only give us a pseudonym, a false identity. They're stingy. All organizations are stingy, and they only recognize the few. You see, we can't be happy if we don't know who we really are. People long to be free of compliance. They suffer under the weight of it. You see, the answer, though, is not to blame corporations or capitalism or business. The answer isn't to quit and go into radio silence or go off the grid somewhere. Nope. Make no mistake. Corporate Kool-Aid is religion. Everything we see, everything we taste, everything we use and touch has a CEO. Look around you. Everything that you see and touch has a CEO. You see, all things have a system of self-interest. All things, the cosmos, are all these systems are everywhere. You can't avoid them. Each one is vying for the talent that gives it an advantage in our competitive world. And like a religion, the world gives its constituents a very false identity, a means of life, and some measure of purpose, but not the real thing. You see, it requires we place our faith in it. And as such, all organizations are institutions of faith. And unhappiness really sets in when we realize we cannot escape the Kool-Aid. Even a lottery winning cannot save us from all the worldly systems. The homeless panhandler and the executive must both sustain and protect their existence, and they do this by dependence on the system. Right? CEO, who's got a big, lavish lifestyle, is dependent upon the system to sustain it. And so is the homeless beggar. They're dependent on the system to sustain them as well. So it can all seem like a big chasing after the wind, like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:14. So are we hopeless? Is this really the basis of unhappiness? Are we just slaves to the grind? You see, I believe freedom is possible. But freedom is not possible by evacuation or by the lotto. Freedom comes from the inside. You see, our identity is not found at work. That's the lie of the world. Come to work, get this job, this title, this lifestyle, and you will be somebody. Folks, our doing does not create our being. And I've defined myself for years now as the uncoach, because so many life coaches are out there trying to help you do more so that you can be more. And I'm out there trying to help people be more so that their doing becomes the best it can be. Now, freedom comes when we switch from this world, this Kool-Aid, this system, to what Jesus called a kingdom. Now, the system, the world, the religion, the Kool-Aid, right? It's easy to spot because it operates from the outside in, right? It has many rules and it controls behavior and it operates on ambition and duty and exclusivity, right? The elite, the rise to the top, the chase, the thrill. And so those who have energy and talent and strength and stamina and fight and drive and all of that, those are the ones that it rewards because those are the ones that keep the machine spinning the fastest. They're the ones spending the most, buying the most, trying to be the most, right? And that's how it works. It's easy to spot. But the kingdom is different. It's totally different. It's paradoxical. And this is basically the story of the whole Bible. It's inside out, not outside in. The kingdom has one rule, not many rules. It's basically to love as you have been loved. Right? To know others as you have been known. And this produces the best of our humanity, because focusing on one rule is way easier than focusing on a lot of rules. Focusing on one thing that starts at the heart level will change all of our motivations, and it moves us out of this competing world, because we become free since we're no longer competing for an identity. We already have one. We're just us. It's just you. You're just you. I'm just me. I'm just a dude. I'm a guy. I'm a person. Right? We start there. We can be okay there. And that frees you, because now you don't need what the system can give you. Now, if you're suffering or tormented or depressed at work, then you've probably had way too much Kool-Aid. Try this. Try surrendering your outcomes at a soul level. And what do I mean by that? Well, surrender your ambition line to, you know, get the corner office, to get the promotion, to outdo your peers, to be the top salesperson. Just surrender that outcome. I'm not saying give up on your dream. No. I'm saying surrender the outcome at a soul level, where you don't need it to be happy. You don't need it to be you. Right? You'll feel something resist you. In fact, some of you may already be arguing inside. That's the part of your soul that needs to die. That's the corporate Kool-Aid talking. That's the system. That's not the kingdom. You see, you have to let it die by surrendering. Don't quit on your dream. I'm not saying quit your dreams. If you really do want a leadership role, don't quit your dream. Just quit the system's means to that dream. Right? Because the system's means to leadership is to get power over other people. The kingdom's mean to leadership is to serve people. That leadership is based on influence. And you can have influence because of fear and power if you're in the system, or you can have influence because of love and service if you're in the kingdom. You see, you don't have to quit your dream. You just have to quit the means to that dream. And you do that by creating a spaciousness in your new life for an ending to your dream. Right? You have a new opportunity for something different, and you'll immediately start moving with the wind. The pneuma, the spirit, and you'll experience what I call, and what many in this world call, flow. You see, the reason you feel like you're beating your head against the wall is because you are beating your head against the wall. The reason it feels like you're gaining such headwinds is because you are truly going against the flow. To go with the flow, it's to go with the paradox. This is why the burden is light. You see? Now, we can work once you have this freedom. And you can work in any system in the world. That's the beauty, right? You can go to any system, any church, any nonprofit, any big corporation, any small business, anything. And you can work in that system. And you're free to work and do good work in each of the system, and as you do, you'll make every one of those organizations incrementally better. The world becomes free once we become free. Free people are happy people. Happy people are the best employees you could ever want. You see, freedom is to be in the world and not of the world.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback.
Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.